Hello and welcome to the second installment of three on the Political Organizers Service Group. Today we're going to talk about working with power and authority. We'll start off with a quote from John Adams, a statesman and diplomat and the second president of the United States in 1800. He said, "Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, the safety, the prosperity, and the happiness of the people, and not for the profit, the honor, or private interest of any one man, family, or class of men." The Political Organizers Group carries with it a certain authority to use the will that other service groups do not have. In many countries, authority is given by the people through elections. But in some countries, authority is seized by the right to rule by a strong man who imposes his will on the nation. In the Ageless Wisdom teachings, authority ultimately comes from the higher spiritual source, that is, the spiritual hierarchy, via impression to sensitive individuals whom want to help bring about international understanding and unity between cultures and nations. This obviously requires much wisdom on their part, as impressions must always be impersonal and allow mankind to retain free will. The spiritual master D.K. said the Political Organizers Group will facilitate right organization of society through the expression of the will. The spiritual hierarchy impresses the energy of will mainly through service-related group activities. They understand that unless there's an underlying guiding energies of love, wisdom, and the energy of synthesis, the will energy becomes a destroyer and obviously can be cause problems on the physical plane. It is only until the mid-20th century that the destroyer aspect was kept from humanity, as mankind is still learning the wisdom of its use. Of course, we're referring to the advent of the discovery and the use of the atomic bomb. When members of the Political Organizers Group impose their will, there is friction and destruction as old personality-oriented ways resist change. This is most evident in today's world, where extreme views from different political parties are vying for power and want to bend the human will, that is, the public, to their wants and desires. When discussing the Political Organizers Group, we have to consider the expression of the will as a force by the individual, such as from an elected leader, a group, or a political party within society. It is noteworthy that the expression of the will is in the individual does not necessarily have to be soul conscious or working with ethics in what he or she does. This, of course, has resulted in the disjointed and misaligned world we have when the higher expression of the soul is not dominating our life's activities. Examples of the expression of the will in everyday life. When an individual uses a weapon such as a gun or a knife, his or her own body, or even a large pickup truck or SUV, these can be instruments of intimidation and abuse of the lower personality's will. Also, we have expressions of the will through legislators, legal professions, the judiciary, the lawyers, the police, and the military. They are all extensions of the will of government to enforce laws and keep the peace. The broadcast media can be an instrument of lies, intimidation, and deception of facts or obvious truth, and this would constitute abuse and imposition of man's free will. Within the workplace, the manager or the boss imposes his or her will for giving instructions or orders. That can be totally neutral, too. In a democracy, the will of the voters and the masses of a nation collectively represents a focused will toward a particular desired outcome. One of the great challenges the Political Organizers Group faces is offsetting the illusion of power and authority within government. Anybody working within government are all susceptible to these energies. On the surface, this illusion is represented as ambition, corruption, and exercising an authoritarian control over others. The other end of the spectrum rests in the distant future when there are rulers within government who are spiritually driven by a higher ethic and code from the soul. But here in the present, the service worker stands between the two extremes and seeks to find and articulate truth. The esotericist might call this the illusion of authority. That is, it's an illusion that exists in the individual's emotions and his thoughts in his mind. Both are formed around the distortion of an ideal. In this discussion about authority, illusion exists when an individual or authoritarian figure or government imposes their will on the masses. This form of authority controls people through arousing fear or the emotions. These energies can only exist as long as the individual or the masses of people are ignorant of the dynamics of their own personality. But admittedly, it's hard to argue when the government imposes its will with guns. The illusion of the imposing authority revolves around desiring something for the separated self for selfish reasons. It is all about putting his own needs above the needs of the nation for personal power and gain. Interestingly, the illusion of power can happen when the mind of the individual is illuminated, but if his heart is closed or any part of the lower personality is emphasized, it will distort the soul's pure light as his lower mind's desires cannot work with the higher vibration of the soul's energy. The illusion can be offset by aligning with the soul and possessing a desire to love and serve others. This would enable the practice of right human relations with all of whom he interacts with. The service worker functions best when the higher group needs are met and there are no personal ambitions present. The only authority recognized is the soul's light of truth as it emerges in consciousness, resulting in the expression of right human relations. When the individual acknowledges that fear controls him, he can invoke courage and guard against the fear by aligning with the soul. From that point, he can then demand that truth come forth to offset the illusion and stand free and clear of the illusion's or glamour's control and distinguish the truth for himself. For the everyday person who is not familiar with this mental dynamic, he will continue to be susceptible and controlled. In this case, a major purpose of the political organizers is working in collaboration with members of the educators' service workers, who would be to educate the public in understanding the larger political issue at hand in the context of embracing ideas and ideals, thus making higher and more enlightened decisions. Let's turn now to the subversion of existing power. Here, the political organizers group communicates the quality of imposition of or energy and an authority that is lacking in the other service groups of this divine group activity. This group will embody the method whereby the divine will works out in consciousness of the races and the nations to promote international understanding. Today, many wealthy individuals, financial institutions, and corporations are concentrating political and economic power over daily life by contributing to their favorite candidates or causes. Other forms of influence include over 30,000 lobbyists in Washington, D.C., whom are influencing legislation for their own special interest and often undermining democracy. They're pouring undisclosed amounts of money, which has become known as dark money, to influence government policy in both politics and economic affairs. Although the wealthy represent a small percentage of the population, they nevertheless exert inordinate control over certain individuals of power, congressmen, congresswomen, and senators, and institutions in an effort to help fulfill their ends. And they're not only in their special interests, but not necessarily, of course, what the public needs. The drive to control or dismantle political institutions, legal canons, and intellectual or cultural frameworks, which is shape public responsibility for protecting social norms and communities, has arisen from excessive overreach by politicians from corporations. For example, in the United States, certain political forces have made a consistent drive to weaken or negate laws of affirmative action, women's rights, environmental protections, and undermine fact-based science or medical research. Other influencers are around corporations consolidating power by creating mega mergers in the entertainment and news organizations, thus controlling how information and news gets to the public. Let's talk a little bit about paying taxes. Since 2001, Presidents Bush Jr. and Trump of the United States have driven changes in the tax laws that have unfairly supported wealthy individuals and corporations. If fair tax laws were in place, then the lost revenue, which is now going to corporations and wealthy individuals, would instead go to the U.S. Treasury. With less revenue available, social programs, the arts and public services, mental health care, environment, and underfunded or eliminated. problems with taxing the wealthy. This creates a socioeconomic political climate where CEOs or investors feel singled out and then they want to deflect their money to offshore accounts, that is, into other countries to prevent them from being taxed within the United States, for example. Tax laws that are manipulated creates a climate of we versus them, an elitism scenario and hostility by the citizenry who learn of the tax dodge by the CEOs and corporations and corrupt politicians in power. With all these activities and people being exposed as basically corrupt, this has planted firmly the notion or thought for the public that there is corruption in government and industry. On the other hand, there is consistent drive by members of the Trained Observers service group in the broadcast media and whistleblowers to confront corruption in government and industry and provide ethical behavior and leadership. This has been met with mixed results. Eventually, members of the political organizers group will realize that the path is trod by those who want to be free from any authority except that of the soul. For this calling, the individual must free himself or herself from any separative personality concerns in favor of the higher group needs through service-related activities. This would also entail not having any personal ambition or wish to be a leader or control activities for personal interest. By aligning with the group energy, the individual leader, the political organizer, is working under conditions and rules that govern all activities. Over time, the higher rhythm penetrates the individual's consciousness and he aligns himself with the group life and consciousness. When the individual is working with the new authority, this is known in esotericism as occult obedience. By being in tune with the soul, an awareness and recognition come forth of the emerging light that reveals new duties, responsibilities, and obligations. Together, these make up a new authority. So, being guided by these ideas, this would help to prepare service workers for world service. These rules functioned as dissipators of distortions and illusion as they seek to present the truth wherever it is. The service worker comes to understand that the focus of service is to establish group interplay and group relation. Spiritual hierarchy is working toward this goal and wants service workers to function subjectively, telepathically, and synthetically in group service. So let's now turn to a discussion on human free will. The idea of free will allows man to be able to take more than one possible course of action under a given set of circumstances. Free will is closely linked to the concepts of moral responsibility, praise, guilt, sin, and other judgments which apply only to actions that are freely chosen. It is also concerned with the concepts of advice, persuasion, deliberation, and prohibition. The individual may be consciously aware of different streams of force in his environment, some of which may be beyond his control. In the world, his free will has been infringed on by authoritative control, dogma and ideology, and corporations who have imposed their will and therefore obstructed personal growth and living. When man becomes spiritually awake, he can put himself in a position where he could take advantage of these forces or not, simply by an act of will within his mind. Of course, a measure of courage may also be needed. This is most often associated with the actions of the lesser motivations of the personality when the awake individual begins to be motivated by a higher vibration from the soul, his sense of free will changes. He may have free will within his own personal sphere or local community by sharing his skill or knowledge. The sharing is carried out via his personal will, so his will can overlap with others and become a force for influence and change. When wills are opposing each other, there are clashes. This requires the opposing parties to consider a course of action. The effect can also depend on the strength of a single person or a group's will, united in a common cause. In a worldly context, a person may have a strong personality or someone with vision whom people can follow. There are numerous examples of people who have expressed their will and influence or played a role in local, state, and international affairs. This is most evident when certain political forces through legislation or presidential decree impose their will upon the masses. The results of their action are often mixed and often benefit the selfish few instead of the larger public. On the other hand, political and governmental forces can help to bring about the harmonization of the wills of people, thus replacing competition with cooperation and conflict with negotiation and agreement. In an esoteric context, many people are meeting daily to use their wills to be focused in meditation. They provide influence on the inner planes and subjective levels. Their work equates to prayer work and wanting to influence the greater whole for healing. This type of focused will constitutes an expression of focused spiritual force. So let's turn now to talk about the implementing the will to good. The will to good is an energy that emanates from the divine or from God's will. As man spiritually evolves and his personality becomes integrated with the soul, his willpower increases. During this time, the individual learns to balance the expression of will by being motivated by the will to good in all his thoughts and activities. For esotericists working in the political organizers group, any discussion about the will should be understood about the difference between the will to good and the expression of goodwill. Goodwill is an action first practiced toward oneself, not as a self-indulgence, but as a positive attitude about self through thought and action. With a positive attitude toward the self, the server then feels inclined toward doing the same for others. It is literally the intent of the conscious individual to practice good through all his actions. For him, it acts as an incentive for establishing right relationship between individuals and groups. The will to good is a term we apply for altruistic, compassionate, and harmless actions to ourselves and others in a conscious way. Typically, the will to good is practiced by people in groups who are engaged in service-related activities. Before this can happen, the individual must have decentralized his personality from lower tendencies and urges, that is, from any aggressive behavior and selfish tendencies. This allows the individual to identify a new connection between the personal will and the higher spiritual will. The will to good is also characterized with an individual being able to identify with a larger purpose. This attitude is cultivated by being able to think in terms of the whole, using intuitive perception, implemented by love, and expressed intelligently and mindful of the next step humanity must take. Servers working in the world today are expressing the will to good by recognizing and helping humanity bridge cleavages by moving towards integration and synthesis. We have seen this activity in the world, particularly since World War II, with the trends toward creation of partnerships, alliances, international organizations, planning on a global level, and ecumenical uniting of the faiths, and through aid to developing nations. These servers are dedicated toward bringing forth unity to offset any forms of division, separation, or isolation. As previously mentioned, the will can be represented as a destructive force, but it should not necessarily be confused with wrong use. The destruction of an old and outworn form or forms must necessarily precede the building of the new age. Although many social, political, religious forms have been served their purpose in the past, they are no longer adequate to function with the new Aquarian mentality that fosters the needs of humanity's growth in the present or the future. A conscious and compassionate use of the destructive aspect of the will is needed for the right elimination of these limiting forms. History has shown us that those who abuse the expression of the will and commit evil acts inevitably attract evil upon themselves. We know that an individual with a strong and dominant will often overpowers and corrupts others to bend to his will. Therefore, it is necessary for individuals and the general welfare of humanity that any motivations to act should be soul-directed. In order to make way for the Aquarian energies of love, cooperation, goodwill, and synthesis, there will be inevitable clashes by those people or with those people and groups who oppose this change. To this end, the will to good must become the prime motivating energy, wielded and invoked throughout all service groups, particularly in today's world through the political organizers, the telepathic communicators, and the trained observers. Their thoughts and rhetoric as a focused consciousness will facilitate the higher universal will that helps humanity evolve on this planet so it can move to the next evolutionary level. When this happens, mankind becomes wiser and learns better how to wield the energies of the will to good toward positive ends. Now let's change the subject and talk about a possibility for what is the ideal government. And this is all speculation and observation here. We discussed the notion that a wise and ethical governmental control involves an understanding of enabling synthesis, leading to positive community and national activity. When the political organizers are rendering change within government, they must consider what type of authority and means should be employed. Temperaments of people differ from race to race and country to country. For enacting change, a certain type of government may work in one country, but the same type of government will not work in another. If authoritative or enforced methods were carried out in one country, its particular type of population could respond positively. But using the same methods in another country could cause violence as its people are resistant to a form being imposed. Through the following ideas for the ideal government, we might consider that the ideal government has yet to be created and implemented. So what is the ideal government? The Tibetan master Dwogchul suggests the four distinct types of governments. The first one being the government by an oligarchy of illumined minds. And these illumined minds would actually be highly educated service workers who are selected by the mass thinkers to rule. In this society, education would be highly valued, and their means of ruling would be through educating the public by teaching right understanding, a discussion of ideas, and analysis. The use of physical force would not be considered. The Tibetan notes that the hierarchy, the spiritual hierarchy, would work closely with scientists who factually recognize the reality of the soul and its use of forces. In this example, this connection would constitute a group of ruling esotericists. A second type of government might be, first suggested, is a government by a recognized spiritual hierarchy. A hierarchy would relate to the masses through service workers who would function as intermediaries between the ruling spiritual government and those who are oriented with right values. This, of course, infers that the hierarchy and the Christ have externalized onto the earth, which is a possibility that many, many religions of the world are anticipating. At this time, thousands of service workers would be sensitive enough to sense their thoughts and their ideas. A third type of suggested government is a government by true democracy. This type of government is successful within a system of education to train people in recognizing their higher values, their higher ideals, working in a spirit of synthesis and cooperative unity. Cooperative unity is when the soul and the physical form, or the body, are well integrated and working toward a common goal. A true democracy has yet to exist. Ambitious politicians, financiers, and lobbyists, whose motives are quite often selfish in intent and practice, control democracies in today's world, regardless of what the voters have to say. When the world has people who are thinking and spiritually awakened, the political field will be purified. Education provides the key in developing a link to between the legal system of government and for teaching the higher ideals by leading thinkers. The fourth type of possible government is government by dictatorship. And there's three different types of dictatorship possible. A dictatorial government is run by a person or persons who may be an idealist but rule with selfish motives. And their method of this ruler would be to invoke fear in its people and control through the use of military force. Another type of dictatorship is a monarchy. This is usually limited by the will of the people. And the third one would be rule by president. Under this type of government, this person is often idealistic and subject to corruption. It is interesting to note that the methods the dictator uses causes thinkers and intellectuals to be come outspoken and espouse higher values. This situation in turn breeds fear, purges, and becomes a resistance movement. From these brief descriptions, democracy seems to be the most hopeful form of government for the immediate future, as it allows the will of the people to express their views in how they are governed. As stated, moneyed and political interests and idealists who have a selfish agenda at the expense of the larger group mostly influence current democracies in the world. Those who support the type of democracy in the United States, for example, must remember that it is not a true democracy, but more of a constitutional republic founded on a system of laws. It differs from democracy of Great Britain, Europe, and India. The system is mostly run by people who mean well, but are often not practicing right human relations. Thus, it can be slow to work, clunky, and subject to corruption. Perhaps overall, the best form of government would be when a significant percentage of the population are highly educated and elect leaders who are divinely inspired, guided by a higher ethic, and can make informed and wise decisions for all humanity. This would seem to constitute the greatest service by a world government sometime in the distant future. A long-term project by the spiritual hierarchy is to realign the mind of man towards soul integration. Inevitably, service workers and the everyday person would select leaders and statespersons who enact laws based on higher ideals. This would come about by working in collaboration with the telepathic communicators and educational service groups who play an important role in communicating higher ideals for creating an illumined and awakened society. This concludes the second of the three podcasts on the Political Organizer Service Group. I also recommend two other supplemental podcasts I've created that parallel this discussion on the use of the will. One's called the supplemental the Right Thought Form Building, Visualizing the New Civilization, and the other one is supplemental Crisis, Synthesis, and Group Integration. I also recommend three other supplemental podcasts that relate to this discussion. One is Synthesis, Group Integration, and Crisis. The second one is Implementing Creative Solutions Through Visualization and Right Thought Form Building. And the other one is Visualizing the New Civilization.